Hello, everyone. You're listening to our Favorite Things podcast. This is the highlights episode. And welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast. It feels so good to say that. It's been so long since we podcasted.
It has been so long. Unanticipatedly long.
Yeah. It was not planned. It was not planned at all. But my name is Tiese, for those of you listening for the first time, and I'll be your host for this wonderful episode. Joining me as usual is my wonderful friend and co-host,
Mophi. Hey, guys. What's up?
How are y'all doing? Did you miss us? I feel like last episode we put out was like a month ago. Okay, if you missed us, let us know. We have a highlights episode for you today, and we'll also be playing a game of Never Have I Ever. It's supposed to be a drinking game.
I'm drinking.
Mophie's drinking.
I'm definitely drinking.
Movie's already drinking. but it's super early for me, so we'll see you guys what happens. You can listen to any of our episodes on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're there at Our Favorite Things, and favorite is spelled with a U. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're there at Our Fave Pods.
Can I also just say that we also intend to put out a video recording of the drinking game aspect. So if you're listening to this only on audio and you want to catch that, I would say head on over to our Instagram and find, if you want to see our faces and see how we do while we play this game.
Oh my God, yes. This is going to be our first turning part of the podcast into video. So some of you have said you're excited for that. So we're excited to put it out for you. Mophi, how are you doing? How's your week been?
I'm doing okay. How has my week been? My week has been chill. I guess this is a good part to say. It was going to be one of my highlights, but I think this is a good part to say that I'm in Lagos. I'm in Nigeria right now, essentially living in Lagos right now. So it's different. I'm hyped. I'm really excited to be here. Today I was telling my mom, I was like, honestly, I'm really, really happy being here. Like, it has, like, there's challenges that I'm experiencing and stuff like that, but at the same time, there's just this level of like peace and comfort I feel anytime I'm at home, you know. And sometimes just sitting outside, there are things that I just would not do or do not have access to, just being able to sit somewhere when I'm in Canada. So I'm pretty okay. I had a pretty nice week, quite busy though. So I think today I'm just feeling a little bit tired, but I'm all good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I wanted to be like, you should give us like living in Lagos diaries, but Loki Mophi has already been like dropping hella pics for us on the gram. So style queen.
I'm trying to be an influencer, honestly. How much do you influence with the private Instagram accounts is my question.
That's the problem, because I was literally about to be like, oh, y'all should go to Mophi's Instagram. Then I was like, this girl is private. They're going to go there and like, you have to accept their request.
Bruh. And I don't be accepting people's requests at the same time, so.
Okay, so if you're not Mophi's friend, you're never seeing the fire pics, so. Sorry. Anyway, I'm good-ish. Guys, I've really been struggling this week just with like feeling like tired mentally and emotionally, and just feeling like I can't focus. And basically I just couldn't wait for this week to end, because I feel like I have the weekend to not do things that I need to like give a lot of like brain power to. So I need some sleep, I need some rest, and I'm looking forward to it. But otherwise, I guess I'm good.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I need sleep too, honestly.
I need at least one good, like, 10-hour sleep session. Mm-hmm. Maybe 12.
Can you actually sleep? You can sleep for 12 hours, can't you?
Murphy, you know I can sleep for 12 hours.
I don't know how people do it. That's one thing I wish I was blessed with, like an ability to sleep.
To sleep.
Yeah. Because it's a game changer. Like, once you have good sleep, like, literally everything gets better. Even if, like, shit is still happening. Shit, you just, your mind happening. Is clear in a different way.
Yep. No, it's so true. It's so true. The difference between Tessa on not enough sleep and Tessa on enough sleep is just very, very apparent. I have less patience when I haven't slept.
Hate it.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's how we're doing. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there's so much. Like, when you say, like, you know, you're tired, you don't have a lot to give. And, you know, this week I was like, I'm feeling great. At the same time, it's like there's so much that's going on in the world as per usual. But, you know, in reading about what's happening in Afghanistan, which is essentially the Taliban taking over and just continuously oppressing many Afghans and even particularly Afghan women. Like reading and seeing things, like it's so perplexing. And I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before, where we're living in a time where you just, like, we're all consuming so much
literally
traumatic stuff, and we're seeing things on social media in real time. And there's nothing about what is going on that is okay. And that is like the impact that it has on people's well-being, essentially, like, as consumers, but not even to take away, as, like, the actual folks that are experiencing a lot of this violence.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to just, if I'm being honest, it's hard sometimes to know how to wrap your head around it, but also to think about how do you show up? Like, you know, I get it. Like, now the go-to thing is, like, sharing on Instagram, you know, and sharing where to donate and what to do and how to get educated. And sometimes, like, I sit and I'm like, and then what? Like, you know, as like everyday people, what are people supposed to do, and how do we as global, as human beings essentially that exist in this world, how do we show up for one another when at the same time all of these things are so systemic and are so institutional?
It feels like, it really truly feels like, what can you do? Like, I mean, not, you know, obviously there are literal things you can't do, right? And as Mofi has said, but, like, I don't know, sometimes it feels like, exactly, and then what? Like, is this enough? Like, okay, fine, you're gonna donate to add a refugee's account to provide so for X, Y, and Z. But then what? Like, there's still that system of oppression in place. And I'm not saying that means, like, we shouldn't do anything at all, but then what's going to happen is it's just going to stop being a news headline, right? And then we'll just move on to the next thing. Meanwhile, all of the atrocities are still happening. We still live in a world where it will just, the cycle will just continue. It just sucks. It just sucks a lot.
That's it, really sucks. Yeah, and it's very, I don't know, I want to say it's very disappointing, because and maybe when I think about the conversation around, like, what do people do, I think about how folks engage, because I think about the United States and the US and countries like Canada as well, their role in creating this system, their role, and I don't know if you had seen, but Biden now came live and he was saying, like, our goal in Afghanistan is to, and it's just like, you know, that's what has created this. So anyways, my point being that I think that for me, at least, where I come to all of this conversation from is discourse, is talking about things. Yeah. And for people to know that all of these things just don't happen. You know, so when we're talking about states, when we're talking about these nation states as, like, the United States, like Canada, like the UK, we have to be critical in how they operate. So as citizens of some of these countries, as people that engage in conversations, I think there has to be a critical consciousness, because that's what's creating all of this. And on many levels, like everyday people are going to like donate, but like the extent only goes thus far. Exactly. If we're not also like critiquing and finding ways to mobilize or organize against like how, like against like the army and against like the military, that's what people like. I think that's where we should also be focusing the conversation on. And all of these police forces and systems need to again be abolished, because that's what's creating all of this. So
I couldn't have put it better.
So I think like, I like folks should like, for on one level, like the reason we're talking about this now is that people should, I guess, know what's going on, go read about it, you know, donate if you can, if you want, engage in discourse, do whatever, like, I think makes sense, because there's no one right way. And and how and then there's also the earthquake that happened in Haiti as well. And again, very like, you know, people are dying, people are getting, people are losing so many, so much livelihood as well. And it's worth talking about.
And I feel so like, I feel terrible, particularly about Haiti. And obviously my feelings in grand scheme of things are not very relevant, but just to say that like, this is a country that's like constantly like, almost like clutching at rebuilding, you know, because it's always one devastating event after another and just piling on of all of those traumatic events. And I don't know, my heart just goes out to the people of Haiti. I don't know, it's just a lot. Like I feel like people should just not have to go through so much, you know, like you should not have to live in a country where like just your actual livelihood is tenuous, you know, you don't know the next day, like this, it's really terrible.
And I don't think we should live in a world where there's like there are countries and there are states that people have to experience life like this, when in other countries and places that is not the reality. Like there's so much resources that exist on this planet, and governments and leaders need to stop hoarding them.
Yeah,
and continuing to displace people, because I think that's also what's contributing to a lot of the insecurities in Haiti, as well as so many other countries. So
But I definitely have some I have some resources for sure for Haiti, at least in terms of like being able to like read up on it and also like donate to like reputable organizations. So we're going to put that in the show notes as usual. So please check that out so that you have access to some resources.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Do we have a Q&A this week?
No, we don't.
Have y'all just sent us in questions?
No, I don't even, I think we forgot to put up the question box as well, so.
Oh, damn, okay, that's on us.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have a question box up for our next episode, and y'all should send us a question.
Exactly. So moving on to our chit-chat segment. So today we want to talk about this whole notion of essentially choosing your health, choosing self over, like, work, and I think overwork in general. And this really comes from thinking about like folks like, you know, Simone Biles, that decided to step away from the Olympics, if I'm correct. Because she's like, you know, I gotta take care of myself. This thing is physically like strenuous on my body, but I also have to like protect my mental health as well. And we've also seen folks like Naomi, for example, saying that she wasn't going to do press because she needs to take care of her health. And I think that, you know, a lot of people critique that. A lot of people say, you know, this is the work, and you know what you were signing up for, and all of these things. And we just want to talk a little bit about that. I'm curious on your thoughts on, you know, all of these like critiques, and when people say like, you know, you chose this career path, so you just need to like deal with it.
Yeah, honestly, y'all are, and I'm just, this is the nicest way I can put it, extremely insensitive, like anybody saying that. So I was having a conversation and talking to someone about this, about Simone specifically and about the events. They're like, oh, what do you, they're like, oh, what do you think about Simone essentially pulling out of the Olympics? Like, did she quote unquote fumble the bag? And I was like, what does that, first of all, what does that mean? What does it mean by her fumbling the bag? Like, she's, Simone is a professional athlete, okay? So if she's going to, who has gone through the Olympics now? Is this her third or second Olympics, whatever? And who competes on, like, high pressure, like, high stakes, you know, stages regularly? This girl knows what's at stake. So if she's now going to come out, step out in front and say, I'm going to step away from this, I can't do this right now, I'm sorry. For me, that's where the conversation starts and ends. Like, I don't see why anybody should be having an opinion about it. I'm not saying people are not entitled to opinions, whatever, have your opinions, but I don't know, maybe talk about it in your house. Because I actually don't understand how... I don't understand how Simone is coming out and saying, for my mental health, I'm choosing not to participate. How are you now more bothered about that than the person who, this is her livelihood? Literally, like, this is her life. So you can't be more bothered than she is. I can let you know for a fact. Like, this is her passion. This is what she's done probably since, like, you know, she was as tall as, I don't even know. You know, like, she's been doing this all her life. And so if she's deciding to step away for whatever reason, as far as I'm concerned, she even needs to explain it to anybody. Everybody just needs to take a step back, take a seat, and be okay with that. Instead, say, what can we do for you? Like, how can we help? How can we support? She's not just a, like, an object for your entertainment. She's a human being. And yes, sports does happen to be for entertainment, but they're human beings participating in these sports. And human beings go through all sorts of things, right? Like, and especially in Simone's sport, as a gymnast, super, 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 super dangerous. If one itty bitty thing should go wrong, you know, and then she's out of the sport forever, and then all of you will just have sob stories, you know. So it's just like, let's leave athletes alone to do what is best for them, because already they're doing so much of what is best for the public and, like, doing things for our entertainment. So when they choose them, let's let them choose them. That's my soapbox for today.
I love it. I love it because I think that, like, on one level, obviously, I would relate this to talking about capitalism and how you know, people always prioritize money and capital, and capitalism essentially is also, like, is also created on the backs of exploitation, but particularly the exploitation of Black people and of Black women in particular. If you guys have listened to this podcast, there's no way you wouldn't expect me to go down this route, but it's for me, it's just plain, and that's essentially what it is, that we think that people just need to show up regardless for money to continue to sustain this system. You know, like, you know, people saying she fumbled the bag, people saying that, you know, this is the job or whatever. It's like, what about human beings is more, what about our bodies is money more important than, is, like, performing for you more important than? And it goes into every sphere of life. Like, we're talking about athletes, but it shows up in every area. It shows up in every other, look at any of the jobs that any of you are doing as you're listening to this podcast right now. If you ever want to choose yourself over work, that's not good enough. You always have to show up for work. Mm-hmm. And that's because we've been told that. But there's nothing about that that's true. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about that that says that's how we need to exist. And that's why, like, for me, seeing these women, but particularly these young Black women, saying, actually, no. Because actually, for many, many centuries, Black women have not even had the opportunity or the option to choose themselves and their health. Because there was just not that choice. We had to survive. It is survival. And this in itself also is now survival. But I love seeing these young women saying, I'm going to choose me, and that is okay. And if you don't like it, you know, whatever. even if I know that it's not easy for them.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And that's another thing. Like, why are people talking about these things as if these choices were like, they're being flippant, they're being like, and even if they were, right? Like, but you think that they didn't think about everything that is at stake, like for them, you know, like they didn't think about their careers. They didn't think about the impacts that this might have on like their sponsorships and other things. Like, you don't think that they're thinking about it more than you are. Okay.
Exactly. You know, so I'm kind of going through something similar as well. I don't know. I mean, maybe people have listened to last episode, but in one of the episodes that we were recording, I was saying how, you know, I'm going through something as well, mm-hmm. where I've been working and I was burnt out. Like mm-hmm. literally, I just did not have any other thing I could give. Mm-hmm. And it took a long time for me to get to that point of saying like, okay, I'm going to take some time for myself. I'm going to take some time off because I need mm-hmm. to get well, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I remember recently my uncle was visiting and I was just telling him, he's like, why are you here? What's going on? And I said, you know, uncle, I'm burnt out. And he's like, what? I'm also burnt out. Like, we're all burnt out. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that moment, for a second, I like second guessed myself and I was like, holy shit. Like, yeah, it's true. Like, everybody's fucking burnt out. You know, like, what makes me being burnt out like special? And at the same time, I still go back to that point in that, first of all, I was like, that's why you old people are just going to die burnt out and like you die out of being unfulfilled. Mm-hmm. Because not like I'm being aggressive now, but I know what you mean. We also come from a different generation where I think we have different priorities at this point. But I was like, sorry for you. Like, if you're burnt out and you don't want to do anything about it, then that's like, that's what you've chosen. And I think there's also that aspect that people feel like the audacity. People are like, what do you mean you're going to take this time for yourself? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, like, if I'm struggling, mm-hmm. then you also need to be struggling. So, like, do not prioritize your health. And for me, there's just like, I see the difference. Yeah. I see the difference in me right now in realizing that my work is not the most important thing and that I am the most important thing. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, work is always going to be there. Like that's just what it's going to be like. And, you know, there's a cliche that says like you can't pour from an empty cup. So if you're going to keep working and working and working and you don't have it in you, how are you going to continue to sustain it?
Exactly. Like, I think that's a thing I think that we all forget is that like these systems work, whatever, like these are all sustained by people. And it's just keeps being proven, like even when you see like them piloting like a 4-day work week in Iceland, it just keeps being proven that like people do better when they're not stressed out, burnt out, overworked. People are just, they're just better employees. They're more productive without killing themselves, right? And that narrative that, oh, you know, like I'm killing myself. So like, what makes your own special? It's like, no, let's change that. Like, if you're choosing to be okay with being burnt out, it doesn't mean that I need to be, right? It doesn't mean that I now need to look at myself and be like, okay, I guess I'm not suffering that much. Like, why can't I just push through? And then you push through for what? At the end of the day, all of us in these jobs are pretty expendable, right? Like, you fall down and faint, and then they'll put another person in your place. So choosing yourself is essential. It's essential, and it's difficult. Obviously, this is not an easy thing to do. As Mofia said, it's not easy. It's not even easy to figure out that you're at a place where you need to step back. Right. And sometimes you don't even have the access to step back.
Yes. Let's talk about that.
You don't have that. You need to keep food on the table, or you need to provide in so ways. Mm-hmm. So then you can't even choose yourself, because choosing yourself means neglecting maybe a whole bunch of other people. So like,
Yes. And many Black folks, many Black women don't have that option to take a step back. And that's what's interesting to me, that I think that if these Simones and these Naomis were like little white girls, like I think everybody would be like, wow, see, mental health, hashtag mental health, everybody will be praising them. Mm-hmm. But when it's like Black girls, people are like, what, you're not fulfilling anything. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say that for me, when I see shit like this, it's also like, in my mind at least, it's also very ableist, because mm-hmm. we think that people need to just exist beyond mm-hmm. like ability. Like people have to be, I'm trying to find the particular word, but people mm-hmm. have to have a certain ability. Like if you have like somebody that has like mental health issues, like if I'm anxious, like I cannot operate, and you want me to still continue to exist, you know, there's no accommodations, essentially, is what is happening. There's no accommodations mm-hmm. for people that need to take breaks, people that need to mm-hmm. take a step away, people mm-hmm. that just need to rest. Rest is very important as well in work. So we also have created our, like in combination with like capitalism, is also like able, like our society is so ableist that there's nothing that has been created for folks with disabilities, you know, to be able to exist in mm-hmm. how they exist, mm-hmm. even in sports, even in day-to-day work and things like that. So there's also that aspect of things that I think that needs to start getting deconstructed in how we understand work, how we understand mm-hmm. showing up, mm-hmm. and also how we understand creating systems. Mm-hmm. And opportunities. Mm-hmm.
But prioritize your rest, y'all. Like when you can, or mm-hmm. if you can prioritize yourself, because these people, these systems just do not care about us, right? They just don't. Yeah.
And there's so many people going through it. I think even with COVID, like initially, like when COVID started, like that was the one thing everybody was saying, like, you know, how is work going to be different? Like, let's reimagine work. And I know there's some places that have now reimagined work, mm-hmm. but I think it's also just in the aspect of like physically coming to work.
Exactly. they're still out here overworking their employees.
Mm-hmm. And I think people are like, I think people are even more worked now than before, like than pre-COVID.
Yeah, some people are not using this as an opportunity to reinvest. They're like, okay, how can you now still give 200% mm-hmm. while just not showing up to the office physically? It's okay. Mm-hmm. And some people, they don't even care. They're just like, as soon as we can get you back in the office, we're going to get you back.
Coming back. You're coming back, because how do I know that you're working?
I need to see. Your laptop open. Even if you're using Facebook, I need to see your laptop
open. Literally. And that's what's fucked up, because I'm like, there was so much that we can learn from what has happened, and people are just not learning.
No. We're not really a learning society. We're just like, let's repeat the same patterns of behavior. Human beings are resilient. And
Exactly. Let's get back to normal. You know, it's like, what exactly is normal?
What is normal? Can we check on normal? Because I feel like it wasn't working. mm-hmm.
And there cannot be any normal anymore. Like, something has happened. That's also what perplexes me a lot of times. It's like, there's no way anything can go back, because like, well, I feel like I'm just dragging myself now, but there's no way anything can go back because things have happened. So there's going to be a new dynamic now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, shall we move on to our highlights?
Yes, let's do some highlights. Let's do some highlights.
All right, Mofi, take us away.
I mean, one of my highlights, obviously, that I've talked about is me living in Lagos right now. And mm-hmm. so all my Lagosians, you know, hit me up, say what's up, you know.
Let's around.
You know, I just got back. Let's kiki. Let's have some tea, some drinks, you know, all of that stuff.
Okay. Mofi's campaign for enjoying Lagos 2021.
Literally, I'm looking for friends. I'll be honest that when I got here initially, I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, how am I going to survive this? Like, with all my friends are not here, this is about to be so challenging. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the Lagos, like breaking into circles, in my opinion, in Lagos is very hard. I think hard. People are quite closed. Mm-hmm. So I was freaking out a little bit and was just like, ha, this is going to be hard. And also living with my parents, with my mother in particular, I was also like, you know,
your mother must never listen to this podcast.
Maybe it would be good if she does, but you know, I was like, I came from like living in my own apartment, having my own entire space, independence, to now living under my parents, my mom's roof, and not having that amount of independence anymore.
Yeah. And anybody who, or I guess a lot of people who are living with their parents, Nigerian parents, can probably relate to exactly what Mofi means. Life is so different. So you go from living by yourself to living with your parents when those parents are Nigerian.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm just trying to like have a different mindset. Because when I came home last time, first of all, I was in a different headspace to the point of like, I was not well. So like, I was extremely antagonistic. I was on edge all the time. I was not comfortable at all. And I think I'm slightly in a different space where like maybe now I have a bit of more perspective. I'm a bit calmer-ish. Like, there's nothing about me that really speaks calm. Like, but like, sometimes I'm just like a bit like, okay, let me just take a step back and just listen instead of like being ready to like give a rebuttal.
Right. Yeah.
So it's been interesting. I think that this is about to be a time where for me and my family and my parents, like, I think my parents are also going to have to like take a step back. Yeah. Actually, my mom had said something. She's like, I'm not comfortable with this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, like, no, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for telling me how you feel. I hear you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, as you guys would say, it's your life. And I was like, yep. You know, exactly. Like, it is my life. Like, I hear you. I take what you say. And, you know, thanks for sharing that concern. I'll keep it at the back of my mind. But, you know, that's not going to dictate what I do next. And maybe in some cases, maybe it will. Yeah. And in some cases, maybe it wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And that just felt really nice, because I think in another circumstance it would have been a fight between us.
No, it's true. And I feel like, I mean, sometimes when I think about the things that turn into fights, I'm just like, this didn't have to go here. But I think it's sometimes because like our parents have a hard time accepting that like they've given you an opinion and you don't want to take that as fact. But like, what do you mean, you know? What do you mean you understand? So you're still going to go ahead and do what I said I was uncomfortable with? And I'm just like, but what you're uncomfortable with, I'm not uncomfortable with, and it's my life. So,
exactly. My mom be sending me all these random ass videos of like scary shit that's happening. Like, scary, like, she'd be like, the roads are dangerous at night, be careful.
Of course.
And just random ass things. And I'm like, I get it, but like, please don't bombard me with like all your worries and your fears, because
it's a lot. And y'all stay taking these WhatsApp broadcasts as your news. It's actually so interesting to me, because our parents really think that they're so informed. Anyway, my friends don't listen to this podcast, so let them drag them a little bit. I literally tell my mom, I'm like, mommy, this is not a reputable news source.
No. Especially when you see they forwarded many times. I'm like...
I'm just like, do you understand that when you now send me something on WhatsApp, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm ignoring it. I'm literally, I'm not going to listen to this. So it's also so interesting how much they rely on WhatsApp as like a news source and then like forward it to you and then expect you to like have these same levels of fear.
Yes.
Like, it's so interesting. I feel like there's a difference, like, generationally in how, like, things scare us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's our parents in the ways that things scare them, and then they pass it down to us, and we're not, we don't really care. And then there's the way that things are fearful for us, and you pass it down to Gen Z, and mm-hmm. they're like, could care less, like, what?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting, like, that idea of, like, wanting your kids or, like, whatever to be, like, scared in the same ways that you're scared, and operate their life based on your fears.
Yeah, literally.
Sorry to all the parents out there, we're not going to do that.
Sorry, y'all. One time I was talking to my dad, and I just want to wait. Okay, I was talking to my dad, and he was giving me a scenario. Say, like, my sister was away, and my mom wanted my sister to come back early enough so that she could see her before she traveled to America. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My dad was like, you know, what if your mom died, and
she missed
seeing her? And I was like, okay, that's fair. But I was like, what if my sister died and she just rather, like, have lived? Because I'm like, anybody can.
Exactly. All of us can die now.
He was like, oh, fair enough. Like, okay, true, like, fair points. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, it's so true. And that's actually really smart, because I've actually never really thought about it from that perspective. It's like, okay, yeah, what if me too, like, this is how I would like to spend my last few moments on earth. Yeah.
Honestly, literally, YOLO, man. YOLO.
YOLO, indeed.
I also just want to say, it's just been such a blessing, like, having my sisters, like, having spent time with my sisters. I love those little kids, like, with my entire heart and life. I'm just so grateful.
I love Big Sis Mofi.
Literally, they can get me for anything. Like, they just know, right. They'll text me and be like, can I have? And I'm like, yes.
Yes, have it all.
Have it all. You deserve it all. Okay. Next thing on my highlights is, obviously, again, with living in Nigeria, is watching Bibi Niger. I am obsessed. Did not know I would be obsessed.
I could have told you that for free.
Very true. Like, obviously, I watch so much reality TV. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so much fun watching the train wreck that is Bibi Niger and the people that are just mad.
The more, you know, train wreck it is, the better, huh?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if folks are watching, because there's no point going into it, because Tessa is not watching. So
I'm not watching, but Kama is watching. Kama, hey. Well, she's okay, kind now. Of watching.
Okay. True. Yes, everybody's kind of watching. People are watching on Twitter. People exactly. are watching on Instagram.
Exactly.
You know, I asked somebody recently, I was like, are you watching Big Brother? And they're like, yes, on Instagram.
Yeah. Honestly, like, myself, like, if you ask me now if I'm watching Love Island, I'll be like, yeah, on Twitter.
Literally. So I've been watching, staying tuned. I mean, everybody is obviously really annoyed by Pere. I even don't really know how to say his name properly, honestly. The Yoruba in me wants to call him Pere.
He sounds very annoying and very, very terrible. Like, I know some things about some of the housemates, because, again, watching on Twitter, mm-hmm. and literally nobody can agree on liking him, clearly. Sounds horrible.
Right. Yes. Him and Maria. Maria is also another person that is very annoying. Very, very annoying. Like, this woman, like, she's one of these people that, like, likes to be a bad bitch. And then when she gets called out on it, she's like, what? Oh, I didn't. Mm-hmm. You must have misunderstood me. Oh, I was drunk.
I don't like people like that, where they can't follow through with their mean. You want to be a mean girl? Follow through with your mean girlness. Like, I'm not saying it's okay.
Do it,
like,
with your chest.
Do it with your chest. Not the one where you get confronted and you're like, oh, no, is that how I meant it? No.
That's Maria for you. That's Maria for you. And then the last thing, actually, in alignment with what we're talking about, there was a house guest, KV, that had to leave. He left after 1 week of being in the house because he had some mental health issues, actually. But I apparently like he requested a meet with Big Brother after I had like some outbursts, and I think I don't know if he decided to leave or if they said he should leave or whatever, but it seemed very like, I guess, collaborative in some sense that he left the house. And I saw on Twitter that he said he's going to a mental health institution to take care of himself and everything. And I was like, oh wow,
yeah,
very interesting. And obviously wishing him very well as he heals, but also like people are going through it. Mental health issues are very real, and it's important that people take care of themselves, because that's all we have, really. Wow. Okay, then the last thing on my highlights, obviously I have to bring this back up, but is this whole like CNA, she who shall not be mentioned, but I'll just mention her on this podcast for this purpose alone. Chimamanda, okay, it's not about Chimamanda actually. Right. I should not situate it in this way. My bad. Mm-hmm. It's Olutimeni's essay in response to the essay letter. Or whatever, the letter that Chimamanda had written a couple of months ago about like these two writers that she was trying to come, she was coming for. And it was just really, it was, I don't know if you've read it.
I haven't read Timen's essay. I did bookmark it from the Republic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was very, very good, like very well written. But what I really enjoy about Timen, honestly, is the fact that is how I think I really align with her. Oh, I really enjoy her thought processes because she talks a lot about like systems and how things are very systemic and not necessarily like talking about like you as a person. Like she could care less about you, or couldn't care less, I guess. But there are some things that she had said in her thing that I just kind of want to highlight. Okay. So if you don't know, Chimamanda had written this article and was really talking about two folks. So Timenyi was the other person she was talking about, and the other one was Akwa Ike as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so Timenyi wrote some stuff, and one of the things she had said was like Black feminism is not about gaining and flexing power, it's about finding freedom, it's about securing the bodily autonomy, self-determination and well-being of all people, whether they fit into society's restrictive ideals or not. Black feminism recognizes that no one has the authority to determine, investigate, or invalidate the limits of someone else's identity.
Wow.
It is committed to reducing harm and combating violence, especially against people who are disproportionately at risk. At its core, Black feminism is about radically loving people so that they can live well and minding your damn business the rest of the time. And then the last thing she just said is that it's like Angela Davis said, feminism is not simply about gender and not simply about women. It's about identifying the connections between race and gender and capitalism and sexuality and imperialism. And for me, that has been like what, like sometimes where I get sticky in talking about or in identifying with a lot of feminist thought, especially like middle class-ish feminist thought, because it's always about mostly about equality.
And doesn't feel very intersectional.
It doesn't. And I'm like, there's no way that we should be aspiring to be equal to men, because we should actually be aspiring to abolish the systems that create the imbalance. There's no way that we can try to be equal to that, because that means there's so many people, there's so many things that are still going to be oppressed within the system. So what we should be trying to do is abolishing that and creating freedom, you know, and letting people exist. Like any radical thoughts, truly and honestly, my mind is about freedom. It's not about it's not about upholding any system. And when I see, and to me, that's what Chimamanda in some of her thoughts, in some of her discourse, is what she's trying to still preach. This like we are equal, and it's like no, let's fuck it up. Like let's say all of these things don't exist. Let's just let people live, let people be. And I've been trying to find the way to like articulate this thought, because it's been sitting in my head. There was just something that always rubbed me wrong. Well, I just thought the whole article was very, very powerful. And I think people need to start rethinking that. It's not saying that, okay, yeah, you don't want to get money or you don't want to be in these spaces, but let's think beyond that access and beyond the money.
Yeah, no, I have no doubt that that was a like fantastically written essay, and I need to go and read it. And if y'all don't already read The Republic, because they put out things like this.
And then the other thing she said is that this is just for the queer siblings out here, was that it says, like, more than needing feminists to love us, I need to love myself and my LGBTQ plus siblings. More than needing society to know us, we need to know who we are. Mm-hmm. More than trying to get the world to stop attacking and revealing us, we need only to grow more skillful at protecting and honoring ourselves. And then she also says, queer and trans liberation are the foundation upon which my life turns. My survival is sustained by the survival of my community. To be queer is to know from a place far beyond the reach of even the most voracious violence that there is a way to be free. To be queer and brave is to make yourself your own compass, then spend your life discovering the tools for fashioning freedom. And I'm like, yes, speak. Snaps to all of that. Snaps to all of that.
What a quote.
Yes. So sending much love, but also sending much love to all the queer folks out there, because people be trying it, all the queer and trans folks. People be trying it so much, so much, but they are just salty.
They are just salty. Mofi 2021.
Honestly.
Okay, was that all your highlights, babe?
Yes, I feel like I've been talking for a long time.
You're like, hand over the mic to the guys. You know, I'm not going to talk as much as Mofi. Not that, but I love your Mofi talk. Wow. But my highlights, is it Virgo season yet? No, it's almost Virgo
season. Almost Virgo season.
A few more days.
Fucking Virgo season, yo.
And I was reading something that was talking about how, like, this Virgo season is, like, going to be transformative. And I'm not, I didn't really, like, get into the details of it, but I just love the word transformative. And I'm like, yes, I would, stepping into a transformative season, whatever that means. Yo, I turned 28 this year
In a few weeks?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
In a few weeks. Like two.
Oh, wow. That's crazy that it's September in a few weeks like that.
Yeah, I'm so confused. I was like, does this girl not remember my birthday?
I know your birthday, but I'm like, wow. Jess, I know your birthday. Are you okay?
No, I'm not. Is you confusing me? I'm shook. No, but like, I turned 28, y'all, and like, I can't believe it. It, like, I'm not in the mindset of like, oh my god, I'm about to turn 30, life is ending.
Right. But
more like I'm about to turn 30 and like, I don't know if there's a certain way I should be feeling. I still very much like, I feel so, like, is there, like, a level of adulting I'm supposed to unlock? Like, I still feel, like, pretty, like, silly and goofy. And, like, I feel like I should be allowed to be that way.
Yes. Yeah. Snaps to that.
Like, I'm trying to, like, really more so now, like, tap into my inner child, because, it's actually sad. I was talking to, actually, Tessine the other day about how, like, we lose a lot of our, like, curiosity and, like, kind of, like, inquisitiveness. Like, we lose so much of it as we get older. And, like, I feel like that also kind of, like, stifles creativity and all of these things. And me, I'm trying to be my most creative self. And I think that that means, like, connecting more with, like, baby tea. And so, like, that's what I want to do. You already asked me for my intentions for 28, but whatever, I'm sharing it.
Tell us.
I'm sharing it. And I also wrote a letter to my 28 year old self last year.
Ooh.
So I can't wait to read it this year and see what I said to myself, because I literally do not remember. I wrote it on my birthday last year. I think I was just feeling very, like, emotional and, like, vulnerable. And so I was like, let me write a letter to 28-year-old T. So, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, like that's the type of thing Mofi would have been like, let's do it together.
I'm like, why didn't you tell me this so I could have written a letter to my 28-year-old self, bruh?
You still have some time.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, if you're already 28, like, how are you feeling? Like, what should I be looking forward to? I feel like, I feel like there are things in certain years where people are like, 25 was this and 26 mm-hmm, was this. So like, mm-hmm. If you're already 28, like, what like powerful, amazing thing should I be looking forward to stepping into as a 28-year-old?
I'm like, we should do a question box for that for sure on our Instagram.
Yeah.
And ask like our 28-year-olds should like drop something in the comments, or when people that are older than 28,
mm-hmm.
what would they have said about like 28? So like, sharing with us words of wisdom, because I'm also 27 and not 28 mm-hmm. yet. But I'm very curious as well.
Yeah. Okay, wait, let me write that down so we don't forget, because I love these questions we come up with on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited.
I know. Look at a little baby. Like, I look at baby pictures of me and I'm just like, how are you like 20 years older than like that picture? Where did 20 years go?
Right.
I don't know. It feels like I just started living my life, but maybe that also has to do with like being independent and like
mm-hmm.
working and all of these things. But yeah, anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it.
I love these late 20s. They're quite weird, but they're also exciting at the same time, because you're like, right? What is life? How did we get here? I still feel like a baby.
It's so true.
What's funny is that I was walking with my mom this morning, and whenever my mom talks about getting older, I have to stop in my tracks, because I'm like, holy shit. Like, she's like, you know, I'm 55 or however old she is. I don't think she's 50. I feel like, I don't know. Anyways, whatever. She's in her mid to late 50s. And she's like, things are not the same anymore. Like, sometimes I get tired more. And you know, I'm standing there with her being like, holy shit. Like, there's obviously levels to this thing of being older. Because like me, I'm like, I'm 28. I can't drink alcohol the way I used to drink it, which is very valid. But it's also so you mean to tell me that even that as we're going to get more older, things are going to now become more different? Bruh,
like, this is the least different thing you're going to feel, right? Just like, one day you're gonna go work out and like, you're not maybe going to be able to do things back to back in the same way. Like, you're going to have to start modifying things to, because the body does go through physical changes, like mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. Like, I think after like 40, your eyesight mm-hmm. just starts getting progressively worse, like
mm-hmm.
things you can't mm-hmm.
I was even telling my sisters, I was like, you're in your 20s, this is going to happen, you're going to feel, and they're like, no, not me. And I'm like, I didn't even have energy to argue with you. I was just like, okay, just wait
and experience it. Then you take tequila and you feel like you can't wake up the next morning. Oh my gosh. Okay. My second and last highlight, it's not necessarily like a highlight like for me specifically, but actually, you know what, no, maybe it is, because I don't watch Love Island. It's interesting that Love Island is my highlight. But have you seen that Love Island is coming to Nigeria?
Of course, yes.
First of all, I'm like, this is so, like, I don't know why this excites me more than anything else I've seen about Love Island. I'm like, wow, I cannot wait to watch it, because I'm just like, how chaotic mm-hmm. is it about to be? Like, I'm like, huh, this is the one time that I'm going to like tap into reality TV. But I'm curious as to the type of people that are going to show up.
Yes,
to show up on it.
Me too. I am so excited, because Nigerians on reality TV chaotic. And Love Island is a mess. And I don't know how, I know Big Brother people are quite like sexual on Big Brother as well. Mm-hmm. But like Love mm-hmm. Island also has, or does it? I mean, people are very intimate on Love Island. So I'm curious if like Nigerians will go there.
Yeah, I'm also very curious about that, but I kind of feel like the ways that I've seen, like, probably they're going to try and start discounting people from, like, Lagos, Abuja, mm-hmm. type of thing, and maybe we're going to be seeing, like, maybe some Gen Z folks. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like this is going to be, like, it's, like, all best off.
Yeah, that's kind of, like, Bibi Niger now, that a lot of these people have accents and weird, like, very interesting things that are going on, and I'm like, who are these people?
It's different from the BB Niger of those days that I used to film in South Africa.
It's very different.
So as someone who doesn't really watch reality TV, I'm very much looking forward to Love Island Nigeria. So I'll be keeping
it coming out in September. That. Yeah. I feel like it's coming out in
September.
Maybe I'm now making it up, to be honest. But
well, whenever it comes out, I just hope I have access to access to watch it. Yeah, but I'm curious what y'all think, if you're excited mm-hmm. for it. And on a scale of 1 to super chaotic, how chaotic do you think it's going to be?
It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be. Yeah, go ahead.
There's this reality TV show I watched, The Challenge. I guess it's like people that are in America and mm-hmm. Canada that will probably watch this. But mm-hmm. there are two nights, because they're doing like a global season. Mm-hmm. And I put global in quotes, guys, because people say
because,
global.
You know, it's
and
not
they...
really global. They mean they went to one other continent.
Yeah. But this is the first time like two Nigerians are on there. So there's Tasha. Yeah. And one other person that I don't remember. And I am mm-hmm. so excited because I can't wait to see how they interact with the Americans, how yeah. they become competitive, how they strategize. Because on Nigerian reality shows, there's no strategy. People are just here for vibes and to win that money.
Are they Nigerian?
They were on Big Brother Nigeria. So that's how they... found them.
Okay, when is the challenge mm-hmm. back again?
It's on right now. It's airing.
Okay, cool. All right. Okay, I'm super excited. And now Mofi and I have to behave ourselves because we're about to be on video.
Oh, yes.
You're about to see this part of the video. So we're about to get into our drinking game. Mofi, do you have your tequila refilled? Because
I do.
We're drinking an hour ago. Okay.
I should have had vodka instead.
And honestly, anybody who says they should have had vodka instead of tequila is not.
What? But Ciroc, though. I'm a Ciroc girl.
You are, and actually, you now have me liking Ciroc, but specifically the peach one.
Peach, yes. Peach Ciroc only. We can do pineapple sometime. You know, all I want is to be a Ciroc ambassador, legit.
Like, okay, you know what? Let's now talk about this. So if you're listening to this podcast, right, and you have a way for Mofi and I to say Ciroc and make money from it, can you please let us
exactly.
know?
Exactly. Also, add Diddy on this. Add Diddy, please. Because we need those Ciroc sponsorships.
Link, just add Diddy.
Yeah.
Add the Ciroc Nigeria, like...
literally,
ambassador or something like that. We need connects, Mofi. You're on ground.
I'm on ground. I've been trying. Don't worry, I've been trying.
got you. Okay, so let's get into our drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
We asked you all to send in questions, which I love this. Normally, Mofi and I will like set questions for ourselves, but ever since we've got our third team member,
happy belated birthday to Viz.
Oh, yes. Happy belated birthday. Thank you so much for all that you do. We love you.
We do.
We really do. She makes our life so much easier. And so we have, y'all sent us in questions. Thank you so much. And there's 17 of them.
Yes. Oh my God.
Let's see if we can get through all of them. Yeah.
Y'all know I forgot our video.
Yeah, you forgot about our video. Shoot me too. Okay, y'all know how Never Have I Ever works. If you don't know, basically there's all these like activities that people will send in. And so if we have done one, then we drink.
You drink, yes.
If you have not done one, then you get to not drink.
Yes.
And we'll go back and forth. So I'll ask Mofi and then Mofi will ask me.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's how that works. Okay. So, never have I ever sent nudes. Wow, you guys are really... Yeah. I'm definitely not drinking to that.
There's no need to talk about this, but yes.
Yeah, right. There's no need to discuss it. But you know what we should have had? We should have also had the paddles, Mofi. Maybe we'll play part two with like the paddles where we say I have or mm-hmm. I have not.
That yes. Okay. Yes. That's true. Because for people, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I have, so I drank. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. this is
yeah.
also audio.
People that
so...
are listening to audio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever committed murder.
Guys,
nah, bro. Mm-mm.
No.
We're not out here killing people, okay?
Please. This is a safe podcast, a safe space for folks.
Yeah.
Okay. Never have I ever lost a piercing. Mm-hmm.
Drink into that. Tessa has lost two piercings.
Two piercings. It doesn't make sense. I am now on my third nose piercing, y'all. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever cheated. Yeah. When I looked at these questions, I was like, your girl is going to drink today.
No, not Mofi drinking to these scandalous ones. Ooh la la. Okay. I didn't drink. So just for the people.
No, Tessa didn't drink.
Okay. Never have I ever kissed a lesbian. They're trying to kill you out here, sis.
And shout out to all my lesbians out here. Especially the ones in Lagos. God,
oh,
I'm already unhinged.
This girl is already, I don't even want to finish the rest. All right, that's Mofi drinking again. I'm winning this game, y'all. If it's just mm-hmm. based on sobriety. Okay.
Never have I ever traveled to PR, which I think is Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh. We both have.
Cheers. Oh my god. Cheers.
Guys, actually, sorry, I'm going to stop pretending. It's super early for me. I'm drinking water. Okay. Both is drinking all not the alcohol. But it's not fair. I wanted us to both drink because I feel like it would have been even funnier, but alas, time zones do not allow for such. All right. Never have I ever gotten a tattoo.
I hate it here. Who wrote these questions?
This is why we shouldn't let our listeners write questions. This is why.
I have gotten a tattoo. If my parents, let's say my parents are like, let's listen to this podcast episode today. Tessa, all of my life secrets. It's out here on this podcast right now.
Your mom will probably text me like, so this is what you and Mofi follower do.
Literally, she'll be so confirmed that all my friends are bad. Okay, let me start drink.
Mm-hmm, go ahead, drink. I don't have any tattoos. Pending though, I do want a few tattoos.
Hey, come and join us on the good side.
All right. Girl, you're on camera.
Screaming. Okay, I need to behave myself. I forgot.
Okay, next one.
My turn. Mm-hmm. Never have I ever hit on my friend's man. I would just say hit on my friend's boo thing.
So you have?
Have I ever hit on my friend's person? I don't know. I feel like I have, but I don't remember an example. And me, I'm not going to drink right now. Thank
so
you.
So don't drink it. So that means it's not true. If you don't remember, it do have.
That's not true. I have, honestly.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all keep your people away from us.
There's fun in sharing. Sharing is caring.
Oh my God. Y'all, whoever wrote this question does not like Mofi. Just let us know. Let us know now.
Okay. I keep forgetting I'm on camera. My face is not even like correct anymore.
Is that tequila? Okay. Girl, what kind of tequila are you drinking?
Tequila is good, Sha. Going down smooth.
Is it your face? Mm-hmm. You fooled me. Okay. Never have I ever beaten someone up.
Okay. Nah, we're lovers, no, not fighters here.
Not at all. Also, I probably could not beat someone up.
Mm-hmm. But I felt, literally, they'll beat me, Sha.
Yeah, exactly. They'll beat me. I felt like, though, you know, when you're just so angry that it feels like you want to beat someone. But like mm-hmm. in my younger days, where my emotions were all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I definitely tried to fight once in secondary school.
Yeah, exactly. That type of thing. But I wouldn't have ever followed through. Okay. Mm-mm. You're up next.
Never have I ever smoked weed. I'm a changed person now. So I don't smoke anymore.
This is the worst game we picked to be on video for. I'm just gonna let you know.
Why did we choose to do this?
We should have chosen this one.
Smoked weed.
I have not, actually. I haven't smoked.
God. See, this is why this game is not fun to play with TSL, because there's TSL and then there's me.
Exactly. Imagine if this was those like in Danny TV size shots, bruh.
I'll be gone.
Here. In Danny TV with that game, they're crazy. Nobody's taking sips here. That's why
I'm taking sips. Yeah, I should probably even top up, but
yeah, you should. I don't see that much tequila left. Okay, where are we now? That was you, right? Okay.
Yes.
Well, I feel like this one is kind of similar to beating someone up. Never have I ever had a fist fight.
Yeah. We don't fight here. Okay, never have I ever killed a person again.
I don't actually understand this question and the murder one. Like, if we had drank to this, well, how would y'all feel?
Exactly. Would you guys still be listening to this podcast? Would you guys report us to the police? Like, these are the questions I need answers to.
Like, I need answers. So, wow. Reveal yourself, whoever wrote the mother was. Just, you know. Okay. Never have I ever owned a pet. I haven't.
Like, personally, I haven't. My family has, but it was not my own pet. So, yeah, exactly. I'm not drinking.
I'm not taking any more sips. Okay, you.
Never have I ever. I'm about to die. God.
Chaotic.
Never have I ever gone on vacation.
Oh, okay. I have.
Have I gone on vacation?
With me, yeah.
Seriously, have I gone on vacation?
I do. Wow, she's rejecting me, y'all.
I've gone on staycation, but have I gone on vacation?
Yeah, uh-huh. Staycation with bae is vacation. Drink.
I should ask.
Okay, so we're down to the final three. Never have I ever owned a car.
I actually wrote that one, actually, Tessa.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't send in any for this one.
Because I wanted some that you'll be able to drink to a big.
Okay, next one. I guess I'll also never, drink this.
Never have I ever been in a long-term relationship. I'm not drinking to that, bitches. Your girl just be in situationships and okay, so guys, this is why. Oh, this is too much for the podcast right now.
Way too much. Well, Belle, I'm gonna watch and hear all of this. Okay, last one. I actually don't like you guys. Next time we're writing the questions. Never have I ever. I will pretend you all sent them in. Never have I ever done crack.
I have not done crack.
And I hope to never.
So yeah.
Neither of us is drinking to that.
Just for like for the road, because I won this game. Yeah, I think I won because I drank more. That means I'm the cool person if you guys want to hang out.
I don't think that's how it works. I think the person that is the most sober wins.
In what world? Who do you guys think? Who do you guys think is the winner? Me or TSA?
Exactly. Exactly. Tell us who you think won. Don't y'all don't be biased, please. Say the truth and nothing but the truth.
Say the truth and shame the devil.
Okay, we have to play part two, I think, of this. Y'all have to send in better questions because then I'll be ready with my liquor of choice, okay? I have to send in more fair questions because, yeah. Anyway, that is it for our episode, yeah?
Yes.
Thank you for sticking around with us. Thank you for sending in questions for the game. If you would like to keep up with our episodes, yes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor. We're there at Our Favorite Things, and favorite is spelled with a U. Please consider subscribing to us or downloading our episodes for later listening. It really helps us so that other people can see and listen to our podcast. You can find us on social media as well, where we keep you up to date with new episodes and everything else going on with the podcast. We're there at Our Fave Pods. Mophi, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter. I'm at Miss Badmus. And and on Instagram at Miss Badmus as well as Mophi's book collection.
Okay, well, Miss Badmus is private on Instagram, so.
And on Twitter.
Y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TIIESE. I also write a travel blog, so you can read that at stainfulprints.com. Until next time, y'all, send movie. Send help for movie.
I'm deceased.
Stay safe. And don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.